Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Let's try that again. I just turned the heat on, so give the hall about 5 minutes to warm up. In the meantime, warm yourselves up, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Our class has reached, alhamdulillah, week number 7. And our discussion last week, we now got into a discussion about God Himself, this supreme being, this concept of a wajibul wujud. So as a quick recap up here, we introduce the concept of a supreme being by looking at the various levels of existence. We talked about possible, impossible, and what else? Necessary. Okay? We talked about how every single existence in this universe is a possible existence. A mumkin al-wujud. And what was the equation we had up here that defined what a possible existence was? Who remembers? How do we define what a possible existence is? I know it's been 7 days, but hopefully it's somewhere in your brain. Alibas. Right, so a possible existence is one that did not exist at one point, does exist, or did exist, or will exist, and then go into termination. This chain is defined as a possible existence. Alright? And what did we derive from that equation? How do we bridge that discussion into this necessary existence? This wajibul wujud now. Do you guys remember? Like, so what? So what if something didn't exist, now it exists, and later on it won't exist? Okay? How is that related to our discussion about the universe, about the creator, about some supreme being? What was that one factor about existence that we talked about last week, which was the essence and crux of our discussion, Sister Marie?
There must be some existence that was there before everything was created, that will be there while it's created,
okay, after it's created. Okay. Before that, though, what is the essence of every existence? What is the one thing that it does to itself?
Keep existing.
Keep existing. What's the word?
Survive.
Survive. That's not, sister. Survive. An example we gave you was what? The autumn leaves, right? Why they change colors. Why squirrels collect nuts. Why birds fly south. All these different things. We talked about the idea that built into every existence is a need to survive. Right? Is a need to survive. And a need to exist always. Alright? And because possible existences don't have the capacity or strength to always exist, it then requires a necessary existence that's always been there to pump it with existence. And that same existence, alaykum salam, will never non-exist. Alright? So we refer to that as the necessary existence, the wajibul wujud, or as Islamic philosophers call it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our Allah. That's God to us. Okay? We ended off last week, I left you with a hadith about knowing yourself and knowing your Lord. And that came up into a whole discussion about the Big Bang Theory, about why can't that be the Big Bang Theory? Why can't that be matter? Right? And we told that we will discuss that today. So, once we've identified that there is an existence out there that we call the supreme being that gives the likes of you and I and the trees and the stars and the planets existence, we have to identify the necessary qualities of that existence. Okay? So, the first discussion is the beginning point of the world. So we as individuals who are God believing and the atheist, if it's one thing that us and them that we agree on, is the fact that the beginning point of the universe or the world had to have been from something eternal. Okay? What I mean by eternal is no beginning, no end. The atheists believe that this universe started off with something that was eternal. We believe this universe started off with something that's eternal. Their belief is matter, our belief is non-matter. And we'll look at the differences. But one thing that we are common with is the fact that it has to be eternal. Why do we say no beginning, guys? What if this had a beginning? This eternal essence or existence that was the beginning point of the world. Yes?
There would have had to been something that would trigger its existence.
Okay, so if we accept that it has a beginning, we have to accept that at one point it didn't exist. And now it began to exist. So thus, that goes outside the realm of what? The necessary existence. It becomes a possible existence. That's not. Right? So it has no beginning, it has no end. It's eternal. What does it mean when something is eternal? That's our discussion for today. All right? The first one we discussed, the first thing eternal has to be is self-existent. It cannot have a beginning nor an end. Okay? Once we identify it has a beginning, we have to admit that at one point it didn't exist. And that falls outside the realm of any necessary existence. Number two. Self-sufficient. Okay. We understand that it has no beginning and no end. The other point is that it has to be self-sufficient. Which means that what? It does not depend on anything for its existence. Okay? I'm going to list about 5 or 6 extremely important qualities of the eternal. If we can grasp this, our discussion later on about why there can only be one Allah will all make sense to all of you. If this does not make sense to you, then that's a problem. So you have to stop me and say, this doesn't make sense to me. Okay? Self-sufficient means it does not depend on anything for its existence. What if it did depend on something? Right. So that number one is that it would have more creation power. Number two, it would automatically rely on that one thing to always exist for it to exist. Make sense? There's a lot of existing going on today. Are we good? Does that make sense, number two? Right? Self-existence is one thing. Self-sufficient is another. Does not depend on anything for its existence. Okay? I'll take quietness as agreement. Neither be a compound or a mixture. Who can explain that to me, number three? Neither be a compound or a mixture. Let's see where your heads are at. Yes, my brother.
It would require two things to come together in order to make it exist.
Okay.
Once again, it would be the first thing.
Okay, so first thing is that there's no dependence. The other point that's very, very interesting that I read just today was anytime you see a mixture of something, okay? If we're saying the eternal, now please, are you guys all with me here, inshallah? If we say the eternal is a mixture of two concepts, and the result of that mixture is the eternal, we have to admit to ourselves that the components of that mixture first existed, came together, resulting in the eternal. For example, a very simple example, a cake. If you bake a cake, it's a mixture of what? Eggs, flour, sugar, etc. The end result is the cake, the eternal. But before the cake came about, you have to admit that eggs, sugar, and flour had to exist first to come together, come out with a cake. If we're saying that this eternal is a compound or a mixture of things, we have to admit that those elements existed first, came together, then spit out the eternal. If that's the case, I'm saying where those two elements first come from. If we say that the eternal has no beginning, no end, if we're saying that this eternal was the first ultimate existence, then those elements of compound and mixture that comes about, where did those compounds come from? Is there confusion about that? We cannot be shy, okay? We have to be very, very open about our question. I don't get it, Asabai, tell me, I don't get it. These first three, does everybody understand this? Sisters, are we good? All right. So, neither be a compound or a mixture, no dependence, and must admit that elements or ingredients existed first. Okay? I'm writing very, very point form notes. You guys are all intelligent. You can make your own notes as you go. Four. No space or time. The eternal cannot be a body. The eternal cannot be something that's dependent upon time. Why not? What else?
Time has a beginning and an end.
Okay. What else? Mm-hmm. What about space? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I'll give you an example. A person approached our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. And he says, how can you believe in a God that cannot be seen? The response is that I can only believe in a God that can't be seen. And he went on to explain that if you have one thing that's visible by the eyes, it becomes limited right away. So you see this blue magic marker, you see it here, you don't see it over there at the same time. It's limited to this area alone right here. If I go here, it's now limited to this area alone right here. Right? So the moment you have space and time attached to an eternal essence, and you have a body or a jism of some sort, you are limiting that eternal. Make sense? So can I have no space or no time? Because number one is, as Ali Abbas said, time has a beginning and an end. But more importantly, it depends on that space. And space is limited. Number five. Cannot change. The eternal cannot change. So two scenarios. Either a change for the better or a change for the worse. Let's accept the fact that this internal existence, which is the beginning of the universe, has changed over time to either perfect itself or imperfect itself. What's the problem with these two scenarios? Oh, good, Abuzer. What'd you have for dinner? Just. All right, whatever you have for dinner today, have for next Friday. Number one, if it goes from imperfect to perfect, that's a problem for obvious reasons. If it goes from perfect to imperfect, that's obviously a problem. So the third scenario is that you change it just for the sake of changing it. It goes from perfect to perfect. My question is, why change it then? Okay? Cannot change. Your silence is either scaring me or it's motivating me. I have no idea. Yes, my brother.
I mean, you can also argue that it can't remain because the word remain, for instance, wouldn't be able to describe it, especially if you say that it's not bound by space, time, or matter.
Sure. Yeah. Yes?
Can you go from perfect to perfect and call that change?
Right. So you can't, right?
Yeah.
So you can't. So either it is to accept that at one point it wasn't perfect, now it's become perfect. That's a problem for us. Or you accept the fact that it went from perfect to imperfect, and that's a problem for us as well. Six. Must be a living essence. So let me just read straight from the book here. It says, now as we find abundance of life in the universe, we have to admit that the source of all these living things must itself be all life. It could not bestow life if it had itself no life. I hope that makes sense to all of you. All life. Must be alive to give life. Okay? That's six now. Are there questions about these six? So a quick recap. We talked about, last week we identified that there has to be some existence that we refer to as the necessary existence that gives us possible existences, existence, life. We then talked about, fine, we call it God, other people call it something else. The common view between us and those who deny God is the fact that whatever started the universe was eternal, has no beginning and has no end. And we discussed that fairly to a good degree. The qualities of the eternal have to be six of them. Simply based on your logic. No hadiths, no ayats, no verses, no nothing. Right? If we claim this eternal essence is the beginning of the universe, these six have to be intertwined in that existence. Okay? I want you to read the board and I want you to digest it like you digested your pizza, Abuzer. And I want you to tell me if you have any questions. If we get this, everything else, like a domino, falls into place. Well, the above, you're thinking. Good. Yes.
So how come one of the options you didn't put there, or the qualities, was not cannot be bound by matter?
First of all, there are about 15, 16 different qualities. We chose top six, I think, for interest of time. But we'll look at matter next. Why can't matter be the eternal source of life in this universe? Because the atheists will tell you that matter also has no beginning and no end. And that's where they get the fact that matter was the beginning of the universe. Our argument is fine. Even if you were to accept that matter was the beginning component of the universe, it does not have all six of these qualities. We're not talking about just the beginning of the universe. We're talking about an existence that constantly gives us existence. Don't forget that as a possible existence, our existence and termination is not in our hands. Correct? That was discussed last week. I'm seeing a lot of confused faces. I don't know why. Is this repetitive? Are we okay? Am I losing some of you? Shepherd's smirking. One person is yawning. What's happening today? Are we okay? Seriously. We're good? All right. Okay, I'll keep going then. Right? So, if you're talking about simply... Yes, go ahead.
Well, one of the points under point number six is that he said to give life, you must have life.
Yes.
But then there's also an inherent assumption that to perhaps come up with matter, then you must have matter, then if you try and look at it from that. Or to give... what's it called? I mean, any specific thing, then you must have that thing within you.
No, I'm talking about just life, though. We can't say matter. To give matter, you must become matter. Because later on, we'll talk about that. Matter, when it comes to matter itself, a lot of these don't come about. Like, matter does change. Matter is bound by space and time. Matter does depend on energy, for example, to survive. Matter and all these things do not share the qualities of the eternal that we claim the eternal is. So we throw matter out the window. We're not only talking about flipping that switch. Remember the example I gave you last week. We're talking about keeping this room lit, having a connection between that switch and this lamp are the wires. Those wires for us is that watchable wujud. Matter, all it does, maybe, is flip the switch on. That's fine. I want that switch to do a lot more than simply create a spark. I want it to ignite the running of electricity. I want this wajibul wujud to have that constant connection with me to give me existence. Without it, I will terminate. Because if I had the power to self-exist, I wouldn't depend on this eternal nature. If I had the power to terminate and to create life, I wouldn't need him. So because we need him, that connection always has to be there. This really has to make sense. This is the basis of our tawhid here, guys. Yes?
What defines living?
What do you mean?
What can we think? If we think of a being that's alive, what is a being that's alive?
You tell me. I mean, what is life to all of you? Whatever you look at it, Ali, no matter, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, life has to come from a source that is all life. Be it life of a plant, of you, of a tree, of the planet, whatever the case may be. Right? This constant connection and this constant growing of an existence has to come from a source that's feeding it. Matter doesn't do that. So yes, while we accept the fact that maybe some bang happened and matter created the universe, fine, we'll accept that, just to make you happy. Then what is my question? Does matter have all these qualities? Does matter have life? Does matter not change? If it does, then we have severe issues with matter as the eternal source of life in the universe. We reject it. For obvious and logical reasons, we reject it. That's why, you know, the ulama and those who get higher and higher, they don't really concentrate on the words of God and Khuda and Allah and Ram. It doesn't matter. If you believe in a being that has these qualities, that's enough for them. That's enough for them. Right? Those who will, like Hindus, for example. What Hindus do, the problem that we have with Hindus, is that they believe, let's say, in one creator, just like you and I do, but they've taken the qualities of that creator and made them into separate units of worship. Okay? Right? So they've taken the mercy of that God, they've taken the sustenance of that God, they've taken the love of that God, and they've actually made it into a mujassam, a statue, and they worship it. The problem here is that you've given that essence a compound and a mixture. You've made that one essence parts to it, and the parts go back and depend on that one being, and vice versa. We cannot have dependence. It's self-sufficient. That's why our word of Allah cannot be repeated in any language. Allah is the encompassing word of all of His attributes. When you say Allah, you include all of this plus 1,001 more. Dosna Kabir. Or as Mawla Ali says, La mahdud in the first khutbah of Najib al-Akhir. There is no limit. But the idea is that you cannot ignore these qualities. We can't say, oh, the universe started with matter. Okay, let's move on. Wait a second now. Shabbar.
Where is this coming from?
Where is this coming from? From my Aql. From the book from Aql. Logic. Tell me what doesn't make sense on the board here.
It's not that it doesn't make sense, it's that your Aql, like you said, we're imperfect, right?
Sorry?
We're imperfect?
Yeah.
So then, wouldn't this logic be imperfect?
No.
Why not?
Is your logic imperfect?
To an extent, yeah.
No. No, if logic is trained correctly, it makes complete sense. So if this doesn't make sense to you, right? Then tell me where it doesn't make sense to you. I'm asking everybody here now for the fourth time, where doesn't it make sense to you here? If as a consensus, everyone says it makes complete sense to us, then I can't say everyone's logic here is faulty. I'm saying this makes complete sense then. I'm saying that this book that I got it from is taught by thousands of teachers across hundreds of years. Not one person says this doesn't make sense to my Aql. So if you go step by step from existence to the qualities, it makes complete sense. Yes?
I don't quite understand what you said.
Sorry? Okay, so you tell me. Good question. So you're saying, at the end you said what? He just created and just kind of faded away?
He just created without his
own. Okay, so what's the example I gave to counter that argument? That he created and then he just faded away. Think about us as an existence. What do we need? Good question, sister. Sorry?
Sustenance.
Okay, why? Why do we as a possible existence need sustenance? Why are we a possible existence to begin with? Why are we possible and not necessary? Yes?
Because we can't provide for ourselves.
Because we can't?
Provide for ourselves.
So we are not self-sufficient, sister, first of all. We cannot exist on our own. We don't have the power of creation or existence to us, for us, nor do we have the power of termination either. Right? Unless you jump off a bridge. But that's what I'm talking about here. So what we need is the quality of the eternal that has that constant connection, right? That switch to this lamp, there are wires that's going along the roof that causes that connection to happen. Now, this bulb might burn out, that switch might still be on. Does that mean that the line is cut? No. What does that mean, sister? Sorry, I didn't put you on the spot. What does that mean? If this bulb is out and everyone else is lit, that means what? Bulb is fused, right? The bulb's time is up. So we see people come and go in this world, they die, one bulb is out, one bulb is relit, but that connection is constant. Once you cut that connection, every single existence will go, that's a problem. Right? That's why that's called Allah's rububiyat, His Lordship. Is what? That connection between Allah and us has to constantly be there. If He cuts it off from here, we don't have enough power to continue to exist. This bulb will not light, no matter how powerful it is or how new it is, if that connection to that switch is cut. Does that make sense to you? Good.
And also the scientists supported that Allah is all living because they said the same theory that life comes from the existing life. So if I go back to the first life, where the first life came
That's
from,
it.
And Allah said, I am the creator, so there is no way that you deny it.
Right. Must be alive to give life, right?
So is God alive?
It's got a life, absolutely.
So using that logic, someone has to give life to God.
Not if you're self-sufficient or self-existent. That's the whole point. Well, who gave life to God then, Shabbat?
So wouldn't that cancel out self-existent or self-sufficient?
No, it must be a living essence. It actually connects these two. And connects this one as well. So who gave life to God?
I don't know.
Right, you don't know. That's the problem, right? Not with you. with this theory, right? You don't know. You get to, okay, let's say another god, or a pre-god, or a pre-god. How far do you go? You get to a point where you have an essence that's self-existing, that doesn't rely on somebody else to give it existence, that only gives existence. So you can go far back as you want. You'll get to this point, my brother.
Do you mean like physically exist?
No, I don't mean physically exist. I mean life. Life doesn't necessarily mean a jism in a body. Life means that it is existing. Okay? Did someone create this marker? Not you. Anybody. Did someone create this chair? Who created this marker? Who knows? Who made this marker? Hisham?
Expo.
Forget Expo. Who created this marker?
Well, a company created it. Someone created the people that run the company.
How do you know if you don't know? Okay, is it written on here that Mr. John Smith created this marker?
No.
How do you know that someone created this marker?
Logic.
Not logic. It's existing. Right? Our fitra tells us what? That wherever you see something existing, somebody put into existence. Does that creator have to be there? Physically in our eyes?
Maybe not physically, but what if we're the ones that are limited, like you said,
yeah.
We can't understand because of God created everything.
So, okay.
Because we can't understand something that created God.
Okay. So that's why we're not expected to understand every essence of his qualities. If these make sense to us, the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophets, anybody else in any religion says that's enough for you.
So we're just supposed to accept that.
You tell me where you have a problem with these six qualities. Because this is God right here on the board, my brother. Where? Tell me where. Right? You're stopping yourself from accepting these six. I'm telling you, where is your challenge to me on these six?
I think it's after this. The matter part.
The matter part? The matter, okay, matter, I'll tell you. The next part says that matter is probably none of these things, except for maybe this part. It changes. It depends on energy to survive. It's a mixture. It's space and time.
But it's space and time that we understand only. What about all the other space and time that are theoretical?
Okay, so matter then is limited to space and time you and I understand, right?
Yeah.
Which actually proves this point.
So isn't God limited to space that we...
No, that's what I'm telling you. How can it be the fact that God's limited to space and time?
Because
it's a problem. Time has a beginning and end. Depends on the space. Then you go back to number two. If you have an existence that's dependent on that, that must exist for God to exist. Right? That's the essence of dependence. If I depend on you, Shubber, to be here every Friday, you have to take me. If you don't, if you're not there, I don't come. Is that what we want as the eternal beginning of the world? So think. You're looking for things that aren't there. Not just you, anybody. Right? This makes complete sense. Where I got it from, where it came from, forget that. Does it make sense to you? Right? Now you.
And I don't want to throw too much of a twist in it, but could the Creator recreate himself?
Why would he, though, is my question. Right? So it goes back to change, right? Either you're recreated because you weren't perfect, or you're recreated because you want to be more perfect, or you're recreated because, oh, look what I can do. All three of those we have a problem with. Right? So we have to accept that he existed and he was perfect in his essence. If he changed himself to be more perfect, what happened when you were imperfect? Or if he changed to be imperfect, why would you do that? Or if you're changing for the sake of changing, again, that doesn't make sense to Allah either, or to us either. So change is the biggest one here. It's good you're thinking, Shabbat. I like you. Keep thinking, though. Eventually, you'll accept this, inshallah. Yes.
So the question, the question then would be, why not create beings that are self-sufficient in the sense that if someone were to make a pen, for instance,
yes.
That person does not necessarily have to be there for the pen to
okay.
Continue working.
So
for
this
instance,
is
right?
That's a pen example. It's just about the khaliqiyat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Now let's go one step higher. You and I, our existence, our sustenance. Right? Do we require someone else? Is the fact that Allah says, kun fayakun, boom, I'm out of here. Good luck to you in your life. Right? So the example I gave was only for the idea of a khaliq in the universe. Wherever you see a makhluk, there has to be a khaliq. That's it. Doesn't matter if it's a chair, a cell phone, a marker, a human being. Our fitrah says, somebody did this. Our sisters walked in, they saw chairs lined up. Somebody did this. Okay? Well, common sense. But don't compare this to existence of life in the universe. Because you're right. He created and then he died. The marker's still here. Because that marker, for it to exist, doesn't depend on that creator. We do. Because we cannot exist on our own. Think. It's good. Your minds are working. That means the heat is kicking in at home, though. Yes.
What would happen if, say, Allah did create us and leave us? How could we not exist?
So just by the mere definition of possible existence, no, we can't. If that was the case, we wouldn't need him to begin with. Right? So you weren't here last week, I don't think, Ali. We defined what a possible existence is. Non-existent, existent, non-existent. Didn't exist, exists, will terminate. These three things are not in our hands. Logically speaking, I didn't exist on my own. I won't terminate on my own. Right? If I die on the way home today, that's not in my hands, is it? It's not. Right? Your aql, your logic, what you see around you doesn't fight that, doesn't deny that. Keep thinking. It's good. Keep thinking. It's making me break a sweat today. It's good. Keep thinking. It's good. It's good. That's what the Ahlul Bayt want. That's what the Prophet wanted. That's what we're after about. Realization of your deen. Think. Does this make sense to you? Because once this makes sense to you now, your foundation of Tawheed should be firm now. Now when you go to worship this eternal being, there now should be lizzat in your pleasure, in your worship. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. The Quran says that with the remembrance of Allah, there's itminan in your qalb. There's sukoon, there's contentment in your heart. Because you understand that, you know what, I need to worship. I'm going to worship Him. And it makes complete sense to me. Now there's pleasure in that worship. Now there's running to the musalla, etc., etc. What else? More smokes. Good. Because then from here, we derive the sifat al-sabutiyah and the salbiyah, and the sifat that we read in Joshua and Kabir, those sifats you talk about Allah being Hayy and Qadir and Alim and Rahman and Rahim, all these things now derive from this basic ideology. You cannot have an individual or an essence or an existence that is the beginning of the world that doesn't have these qualities. Yes?
So if an atheist would ask you, can God create something that is similar to God, how would you respond to that?
I would say, yes, He can. It's like saying, can God create 2 plus 2 equals 5?
So then, if God would create another God...
I'm saying, can you tell me, can God create 2 plus 2 equals 5?
Well, He's a creator of the rules, so I suppose He can change the rules.
That's not my question. Can He create 2 plus 2 equals 5?
Yes.
You can't say no, right?
I'm sorry?
You can't say no. You can't say no, He can't create that. Because then you limit Him.
It would affect like all the logic and...
Okay, so the same idea. Why would He create a second creator? Yes?
Wouldn't that mean that He has the beginning, the other God would have a beginning, the begin and end?
Yeah, so that would mean, that's one that He created becomes a possible existence. Good man, possible existence. Right.
So He can't make a second God?
He can, but that second God would be a possible existence like you and I.
He can't make a second God like Him. Because that's
self. Right, so the second God like Him wouldn't be self-existent. That's the first quality. So we cross this out there, man. Then we cross this because it depends on the first God. How far do you want to go down the list?
But then an atheist would argue then God doesn't have the ability of creating something that matches Him. Because, I mean, then it wouldn't fulfill those requirements of self-existence.
So He's not creating. That's why He's not creating a second God. He's creating creations to worship Him. He's not creating us to be God like Him. Yes, He wants us to be manifestations of His qualities, but He goes, I'm not creating Nabi Adam so for Him to be a partner in this business that we call the world. His creation of Adam was what? As a what on the earth? A Khalifa, a representative of Him on the earth. Right? Yeah? No, that's not a very convincing smile. No. I'm saying that if He was out there and His purpose was to create multiple gods, I could see that. But those multiple gods would be lacking the qualities of the first God.
Well, let me ask you.
Okay, so my question is, why would He create a second god that would mirror him? Is he saying that he is dependent on those? Is he saying that now we are two gods, so I'm a compound and a mixture? Is he saying that, okay, I needed help, God forbid, so I call on somebody else to be, you know what, you take care of Europe and Africa, I'll be North America and Asia. So then you are imperfect. Then you are limited by time. For example, you can, you know, if an atheist can swallow this, his entire argument is out the window.
Let me ask a follow-up question. Then. I mean, na'udhu billah, if someone would ask then, in the sense that this God must be, again, na'udhu billah,
must be
a selfish person. Why does he want people to worship him? I mean,
no, now we're talking about purpose of khilqah. That's a different topic altogether. That's later on. I simply want you to accept him as the creator of all universe. Let's not deviate. Yes?
Just continuing on God's omnipotence, just the theory about if he can create a rock too big for him to lift.
Yeah, that's a famous question. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How would you describe that?
Well, I mean, it's the same idea of the 2 plus 2 equals 5 situation, right? Like, first of all, we have to understand that the question itself is incorrect because you are placing a body or some sort of weight or some sort of strength on God when we know that it cannot be bound by space inside a body. So that means that the rock has to be, now the beloved, 300 pounds, and God's about 250. So that's an ignorant question. Okay. Not yours, whoever made it up. I've heard it 1,000 times. So it's not a matter of he can't create it. I'm saying that question alone, what you're doing is that you're limiting God to some sort of weight and adding that rock to be even more weight than God. Right away, you've totally destroyed the entire essence of the quality of the eternal. So he can do whatever he wants. He can create anything he wants. Right? But there's no answer to that, right? He would not create 2 plus 2 equals 5. Can he? Of course he would. It would throw off everything, like he said. Right? What else? Ali Abbas.
For me, in terms of it works as qualities of the internal, I'm willing to accept it, but this is not quantity of the eternal. If I think about it, which I had mentioned...
We're not a quantity yet, that's why. Okay.
So, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying now, once you inject quantity, right, these things are compromised.
So
we'll talk about that next.
Isn't quantity a limitation?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
it's also a compound. You have two of one thing, that's a compound of two things. Right? And that's why I kept asking you guys, are we okay with number 1, 2, 3, 4? Yeah. You even did this with me. Now that I say two markers, everything was out the window. So what happens in the same logic that you told me about compound and mixture? Now Allah depends on the second God? Or now what, he shares the responsibilities? What if one is powerful, what if one is weak? Did God create this second God? Was he self-sufficient? All these things. Okay. So the example I gave of some of the sisters and brothers last about quantity was, where are my markers? Okay? Those of you who were in that class last week, or 2 weeks ago, these two markers are the exact same in terms of what?
Size,
brand size, right? Their physicalness. What differs?
Color.
Their color. So they have one quality that is shared, one quality that is not shared. Okay? Are we good with this? Can I erase this, by the way?
Yeah.
Before I move on to quantity, I want to make sure this is okay.
Can you go over it quickly?
No, I can't. It's been 55 minutes, I can't do it quick. Okay? I'm going to expect and assume for the fifth time that this is okay with everybody. Those who challenge this, I think that a fair response was given. If you can accept this, then the quantity discussion is very simple. Yes?
One final question.
Please, please.
What's your definition of life?
Yeah, he asked that same question. So you tell me what life is.
Well, I would think life has that element of existence, but okay. I would also argue then it has an element of dependence. Because, I mean, we are somewhat dependent on various... I mean, like, as a human being, I'm
You're
dependent...
You're preaching to the choir, my brother. You're absolutely correct.
But at the very same time, then, if we have life and we are dependent then for someone to exist and they have life, then there's also that element of dependency. But now, I mean, the question is where the self-dependency comes in.
Right. So I think you answered your own question in that statement. Right? It's good to think out loud sometimes. So you're right. So life is anything that exists that depends on another existence. You go to a point where you're self-existent. This is not going down your throat for some reason. That's why he is unique. That's why he's Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. There is the uniqueness of God is for this reason. Do not categorize him with us, where we depend on him. Doesn't depend on anybody else. That's why he is the eternal. That's why he has no beginning and no end. That's why he's unique. That's why we serve him and worship him and submit to him, because of his uniqueness. What we're doing is we're lowering God to our materialistic and maddi dunya. And that's a problem. Right? So you're right. Life absolutely is a dependence on another life form. Not the eternal, though. Because the moment you have dependence on the eternal, who is he depending on? Let's go towards him. How far are you going to go is my question. Infinity? Doesn't make sense to us.
Right? Why would we need to go that far? Why can't we just accept that?
Okay, so we're talking about the universe and life in general. Right? So we're talking about your origin. If someone says your origin is some cause that was infinite, doesn't sit well with me. Doesn't answer the question, Shabir. The question is, where did I come from? What is the source of life in this universe?
Yeah, but if we can accept that we came from something that was always there, why can't we accept that we just randomly...
Okay, accept that. That's fine. Always there. It was always there. That's what I'm saying. He was always there. He had no beginning, no end.
No, I mean not...
I'm saying now, right now, do you have a connection with that source? I'm saying, do you, Shabir Abbas, have a connection with that source that was always there?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's your third I don't know tonight. Sorry, with all due respect. So, the reason is just, this is what it's all about.
Right.
So I think the difference here is that the definition of life is all life versus life, and the difference is one is dependent life coming from another,
yeah,
and
one
is all life that doesn't have that quality of dependence, sure, and is independent. I think that's where the confusion is the definition of
life. I mean, our life, our existence doesn't only depend on God. We depend on each other. We're interdependent on each other for our existence. Are we not? I mean, I'm depending on the guy racing down the street to stop at that red light when I'm going through a green. If he doesn't, I'm inna lillahi. And next week's class is canceled.
We'll pray for you.
Pray for that brother. So. What else? For those who get it, I apologize, but there are some of you who are not convinced yet. It's good, though. Yes?
I don't get question five.
Five. Cannot change. Good.
Why can't it change?
Okay, so what will it change to? Let's talk about different states of changing.
To become like bad. No, not bad.
To become?
To become less.
Become less of what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go from perfect to imperfect.
Yeah.
What's the problem with that? Logically speaking. Well, I'm saying that what if this eternal becomes imperfect? If the entire existence of this universe depends on this one existence,
yeah,
and it decides to say, you know what, I'm going to bring it down a notch.
We'll die.
Not die. It will be affected, will it not?
Yeah.
And we don't accept this idea of this existence being imperfect. It will affect the entire system of life in general. Right. Or if you go from perfect to imperfect, like you said, that's a problem. Imperfect to perfect, then why were you imperfect to begin with? Right? And what makes us guarantee that you won't be imperfect tomorrow?
Yeah. Right?
Okay. There's another hand was up here somewhere. Yes,
I just wanted to ask, I mean, why these 6 points? Why not the other ones, for instance? Like, what was the criteria of just putting these 6 points? Because there are other factors, for instance, and the only example that comes to mind right now, and the probably much better ones, is like the element of matter, for instance, right?
Okay, what about matter, though? You brought up matter a few times. What about matter?
I wanted to say, for instance, I mean, my understanding is, and hearing some debates, for instance, between atheists and those who claim to represent...
The topic of that debate, though, what's your name, brother?
Shabazz,
sorry. The topic of that debate isn't about an existence that we depend on. Remember that. Where the atheist claim is simply on the beginning of the universe. they claim that whatever it was eternal. They call it matter, for example. We're saying, fine, Baba, we accept your matter to be the beginning of the universe. My problem is that as a possible existence, I have to rely on a necessary existence to survive. Do you accept that, Shamas?
Let's read the statement again.
Okay. You drifted away somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm saying that... Shall I start from the beginning? Mm-hmm. I'm saying that the atheists claim that the beginning of this universe was done through matter, for example. Because matter has no beginning and no end. Right? So matter to them is eternal. For us, we call the wajib al-wujud eternal. Okay. So we accept the fact, okay, let's say forget our argument. We'll accept you, atheist man, to say that matter is eternal. Fine. But my problem with this argument is that now what after that? Does matter have the ability to give me existence? Does matter have the ability to continue to give me existence? No, it doesn't. On the contrary, it has all of these traits, except for the opposite. It changes. It's bound by space. So I'm saying that as a possible existence, my link to the wajibul wujud or the necessary existence is a very strong link. If that's cut, uncut. A class next week will be canceled. Right? So I'm saying if we accept matter to be the eternal life of all of this world, no individual with half a brain will accept the fact that matter is what gives me the existence to survive. Because in itself, it changes. Where's my science teacher in the audience? Sister.
Matter is not alive.
Has no life. Do you hear him as well? Right? So, if we are to accept the atheist in terms of the beginning of time, fine. We'll give you that argument. But after that, their whole entire case crumbles. I don't want someone that just started the universe and took off on me. I can't handle it on my own. I need somebody who has that constant connection with me. Okay? You switch that light on, boom, it sparks and closes. That's no good for us. We want that constant connection. Matter doesn't provide that connection. It has no life. It changes. It itself is dependent on other factors. Think. Okay? Let's move on. So the example I gave you with the markers, let me just bring that home, and then we'll go from there. So, first marker. There's a red here somewhere, right? Common, unique. What's common amongst these two is that both are markers. What's different is this is blue, this is red. God number one, na'udhu billah, God number two. What's common is that this is eternal, let's say for example, and this is eternal. What's unique is whatever makes them unique. Okay, he came first, he came second. Whatever the case may be. What's the problem with this? First of all, do you agree with that, like this? Is that okay? So same idea, what makes these two common is the fact they're both markers. The difference could be the brand, the color, whatever the case may be. But what's unique about them is their color. What's common is that they're markers. Two gods, they're both eternal, but for some reason they both have unique qualities that makes them different. Otherwise they'd be one. So what's the problem with having two common eternals? Let's see where your brains are at.
Which one came first?
Okay, that's one.
Well, I'd say it goes against logic, because how can you have two infinities, for instance?
Okay, that's two. How many do you want? What else? Is there a dependence? Is there a compound? There is. Right. So it's not just a matter of accepting the eternal, it's a matter of accepting one eternal. Okay? And if the first bit made sense, this stuff is easy. Are we good? Any questions right now? No? Alibas, go ahead, please.
God, in terms of the definition of God's oneness, doesn't mean that God is being one physically.
Right. No doubt. It goes beyond that. So I'm saying that in the fact that he is the only eternal also makes him the one unique. It's not قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Sorry, it's not قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَاحِدٍ. It's not one Allah. It's a unique Allah. Right, Dr. Hamid's here. Ahad and Wahid are two different words in Arabic. What's the difference, Dr. Hamid? Sorry. So, yeah, go ahead.
Wahid means one.
Wahid is numerical, correct? Okay, Ahad is what?
One.
Yeah.
One.
Right? We have in thing two, in English too, right? Right? There is one brush up here, right? Ali Abbas is one of a kind. Those ones are not the same thing. One is numerical, this one is unique. The Quran is very specific about Allah being unique. You can pick up any quality, his eternity, whatever the case may be, the fact that he's all life, whatever, he is unique. He's one. And that is the essence of Tawheed, not about numbers. Yes?
This ayah of Quran, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَ. I mean, if there is more than one God, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
We'll start fighting.
Yeah. They'll start fighting. Yeah, I mean, if there's a male god and a female god, then forget about it, right?
Is God one and God two also can take it from the idea of Christianity, the Father, the Son?
Yeah, the Trinity, right? There's a dependence on all three, right? And what you're doing is you're making it into a fraction of compounds, right? So what came first? I mean, anyways, that's all a different discussion. But this, does this make sense? Shabri, are you okay with this? You're saying that to shut me up, right?
No.
Okay. Good, think about it. My sisters, you're very quiet. We're good? All right. Okay, one last point, and then we'll wrap up, inshallah. I did exercise with some of the youth in the basement. I'm going to do the exact same with all of you. So, what I would like for you guys to do to talk about the creation by chance aspect, where you know this idea that the universe was created by chance, or you kind of put all this together and boom, all of a sudden you have a perfectly run system. What I would like for you guys to do is, starting from here, if you can stand up, bring your chairs and make a nice big semicircle around the room, please. Which requires movement, unfortunately.